Thanks, guys, for preparing us for this worship service with that music. We really appreciate that. Good morning to everyone. I guess winter is officially here now, and I want to thank you for coming out in spite of the cold to spend some time together to worship here this morning. For those of you who would like to make an announcement, would you please come up now and do that?
No need to both say it, I suppose. In the bulletin, it says that clubs is in the youth hut. I just want to remind everybody that was a typo, so it's in the church. So for clubs, meet at the church Wednesday at 7.
There we go. Okay. So I'm here to talk about the church retreat. So, yeah, it's February 7th to 9th. It's a good place to communicate with church friends, and yeah, there's a lot of great games, outdoor games and indoor games, lots of fun sledding and things, so please come.
Our Sunday school class just received a wonderful gift of a computer cart, which will help in our setup, which we do every Sunday morning. So whoever that person was, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Last September, we had Mitchell Peters write a very extensive certified general accountant exam, 3-day exam, for which he had studied incredibly hard, and it was a culmination of a lot of longer coursework and all that he did. We were never really in doubt about whether he would pass or not, which we were supposed to find out in November, but due to some delays, those marks only came out now in January. He had a call just prior to the day when the marks came out saying that he had received the top mark in Manitoba, and he was on the honor roll, which meant that he was in the top 1% across Canada. There were 8,000 people who wrote that exam. Yeah. So congratulations, Mitchell. Well done. At our last council meeting, we decided that his place on the finance committee would be would maybe in perpetuity. I think it was good now, yeah.
Yeah, this dad was pretty proud when he heard that. Any other announcements that anybody would like to make? Let's continue to remember those on the prayer list there, and especially Chris Entz. He's in the hospital at Boundary Trails in the isolation. Okay, yeah, so let's continue to remember him there and all the other ones who are listed there as well. For the call to worship this morning, I had written up something which I was going to present, and then during the Sunday school hour we had a fairly lively discussion on the question. We spent most of the Sunday school hour on this question: how does the growth of holiness and the practice of worship shape your identity and the identity of your faith community as a Christian? And we discussed a lot of different things in regards to that, how our holiness affects us as a Christian and how that affects the practice of our worship. And in the end, we ended up talking about where our church is at, and especially with in regards to looking for a leading minister. And we thought it would be very important that we continue individually to spend time in prayer for that on a daily basis, and also corporately as a church, that we need to be unified in that. In that process, we need to be continuing to pray for those who the church council, as they're choosing a committee who will be in charge of looking for a pastor, and especially those people who will be on that committee. And Grant said, God has already chosen that person who will become the pastor of this church. So we need to now just follow God's leading in that. And that's what we want to do. We want to continue to spend time in prayer and continue to look to God for his leading and guiding in this process. So I want to just encourage all of us to continue to do that. Now let's bow to pray. Lord God, as we go into this new year, we don't know what's going to come. We don't know what's ahead of us. But we do know that you know, and that you are in control, and that you want what's best for us, and you want us to follow you, and you want us to look to you, to come to you in prayer, whatever way it is. As we worship you, you want us to know that you are God and you are looking out for us. And we want to pray especially for our leadership search, for those who are involved in that, for us as a congregation, for each of us as individuals, that we would continue to pray and search for you in that process. And we just want to thank you for this morning and this opportunity to worship together, Lord. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Good morning.
I appreciate what you said, Eric, reminding us that God has this under control already. He's already picked, and he knows what he's doing. So please stand with me. We're going to sing Here for You, and we're going to praise the Lord together. Welcome, let our songs be a sign, we are here for you, we are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven, fill our hearts with your life, we are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem, your renown fill the skies. We are here for you, and we are here for you. Let your word move in power, let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down.
We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise, we welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down.
The next song we're going to sing is Come Home Running. And it's a song that, as I was singing and playing at the 24-hour worship and prayer, that really resonated with me, because there are times when we can wander away from God or we can let other things distract us. And I just really want our prayer this morning to be that we just to know that we can come home running to God, because he's ready for us to come back to him, no matter where we have been, no matter what's been getting in the way. So please sing with me. Heart of mine, why must you stray from one so fair? You run away, and one more time you have to pay the heaviness of needless shame. Oh, heart of mine, come back home. You've been too long out on your own, and he's been there all along, watching for you down the road. So come home running, his arms are open wide, his name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you are. So come home running, his arms are open wide. His name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you are. A child of God, so dearly loved and ransomed by the Savior's blood, and called by name, daughter and son, wrapped in the robe of righteousness. So come home running, his arms are open wide, his name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you are. Come home running, his arms are open wide, his name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you are. Come home running, just as you are. Thank you.
I'll call the ushers forward for the offering. Let's bow to pray. Lord God, this morning we are blessed. Blessed to be able to get together here and worship together. Blessed to be able to sing together. Blessed to be able to listen to music and worship in that way. Blessed to be able to welcome Seth and Erica into the deacon ministry. Blessed to be able to read your word. Blessed to be able to listen to your word. Blessed to be able to take it in. And blessed to know that you're going to take that word from our hearts and spread that around to other people. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
From you, the congregation, we called for nominations to fill two vacant deacon positions. We then gave time for people to consider this call from the congregation. It's important that some sense of call also resonate with those who are called. We asked for a vote of affirmation last Sunday for Abe and Viola Fair and for Seth and Erica Clausen. Thank you so much for your overwhelming support for that vote and in that vote. And based on the positive results of that vote, we want to proceed with a formal installation on this Sunday. We're grateful for their willingness to be involved in this form of ministry. All of us, as members of the church, commit to love and care for each other, yet we also acknowledge the need to call people to special tasks within a church in a manner that is best suited to their gifts, so the body of Christ may also be built up. I would like to ask those being installed today if Seth and Erica would join me at the front here. Abe and Viola are not able to be here this morning, but are well aware of our procedure here, and we would vicariously keep them in mind as part of this installation as well. The congregation has called you to fill this role of being deacons among us, to further the cause of Christ and the well-being of this congregation. And I'd like to ask you the following questions. Do you reaffirm your commitment to Christ and his kingdom and to walk with him as a disciple of Jesus the Christ? If so, then answer, I do. Are you willing to assume the role of deacon with its various duties and responsibilities? Do you promise with God's help to carry them out for the well-being of this congregation and its individual members? If so, then answer, with God's help, I am willing. Will you pledge yourself to continued Christian growth through prayer, Bible study, through worship, through giving and receiving counsel? If so, then answer, I will.
I will.
You, as members of this congregation, have called these people to fill this role. They have declared their willingness to take on this responsibility. I would like to ask you to declare your willingness to support them through your prayer and your own words of encouragement. Would you declare this by rising and remain standing for the rest of the part of this service? Please stand. In the name of Christ and the church, and on behalf of this congregation, I would like to commission you to this role of deacons with its duties and responsibilities for a 3-year period. May you know and experience the guidance of the Holy Spirit as you fulfill these duties. And may the Lord bless you and make you a blessing through this ministry of service. Amen. We have done this before, but I'd like to ask people if you would come, and as we have a prayer of blessing, would you come and surround Seth and Erica with your hands of touch? Would you surround them as we pray a prayer of blessing? Please come. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, you have seen what we are doing here this morning. You have been part of this process from the beginning, and even prior to that, when you called the church into being. We ask that you would look upon what we have discerned to be your will and to bless our efforts. As we surround Seth and Erica, would you surround them with your grace, your love, and your mercy? May you touch their lives through the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, through the influence of others. Thank you for their willingness. Grant them wisdom, discernment, grace, and power from above. Be their guide. Bless their efforts. And may they with rejoicing hear from you someday the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you for this congregation and its willingness to support and pray for these deacons. May your will be done. May your name be glorified. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's sing some more. Yeah. The next song we're going to sing is called In Christ Alone. And it might sound a little different than the hymn does, but please sing along with me. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And please stand and sing Oceans with me. Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name,
keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. And Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Good morning. Our scripture reading is from Luke 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Thank you, Carla. I was wondering if for all those deacons who are here this morning, I think we all are, could we meet together here at the front after the end of the service just to plan when we can meet together in order to get ourselves reorganized, and we need to do some of that. If we could meet together after the service for a few minutes. This morning, I'm going to trust that you folks will indulge me because I'm not quite done with Christmas yet. I've also heard that the spirit of the season is supposed to go on after the actual dates are finished. And I would also suggest that most Christmas pageants focus on the main characters of the innocent Mary, a bewildered Joseph, the awestruck shepherds, the praising angels, and the sleeping, silent Jesus. But few, if any, ever include the two Jewish intercessors named Simeon and Anna, who prophesied over Jesus 40 days after his birth. So I'd like to begin with the following from Robert Fogum. And he writes, "A Sunday afternoon it was, some days before Christmas, with rain, snow, with wind, with cold, winter's gloom. Things to-do list was long and growing, like an unresistant mold. Temper was rather short. And the Sunday paper suggested dollars and death and destruction as the day's litany. This hour was jarred by a pounding at the door. Now what? A deep sigh. Opening it, resigned to accept whatever bad news lies in wait, I am nonplussed. A rather small person in a cheap Santa Claus mask, wearing a large brown paper bag outthrust, or carrying a large brown paper bag of thrust, yells, "Trick or treat." "What? Trick or treat?" Santa mask hoots again. Tongue-tied, I stare at this fellow. He shakes the bag at me, and dumbly I fish out my wallet and find a dollar to drop into the bag. The mask lifts, and it's an Asian fellow with a $10 grin taking up most of his face. "Want to hear some caroling?" he asks in sing-song English. I know him now. He belongs to a family, settled into the neighborhood by the Quakers last year. Boat people, Vietnamese, I believe, refugees. He stopped by at Halloween with his sisters and brothers, and I filled their bags. Hong Duke is his name. He's maybe 8. At Halloween, he looked like a wise man, with a bathrobe on and a dish towel around his head. Want to hear some caroling? I nod, envisioning a whole octet of refugees hiding in the bushes, ready to join their leader in that uplifted song. Sure, where's the choir? I'm it, says he. And he launched forth with an up-tempo chorus of Jingle Bells, at full lung power. This was followed by an equally enthusiastic rendering of what sounded like Hark the Hairy Angel Sing. And finally, a soft voice, reverential singing of Silent Night. His head back, his eyes closed, and from the bottom of his heart, he poured out the last strains of Sleep and Heavenly Peace into that gathering night. Wet-eyed and dumbstruck by his performance, I pulled a $5 bill out of my wallet and dropped that into the paper bag. And in return, he produced half a candy cane from his pocket and passed it solemnly to me. Flashing the $10 grin, he turned and ran from the porch, shouting, "God bless you," and "Trick or treat," and was gone. After I shut the door, there came this mixture of laughter and tears and the funny feeling you get when you know that once again Christmas has come to you. Right down the chimney of my midwinter abode comes Hong Duke. He's a little confused about the details, but he's very clear about the spirit of the season. It's an excuse to let go and celebrate, to throw yourself into the holidays with all that you have wherever you are. I'm it, says he, head back, eyes closed, voice raised in song. God once sent a child upon a starry night that the world might know hope and joy. And through a child, I have been treated to Christmas then and now. I suspect that was quite a moment when Hong Duk showed up and just gave his I'm It performance and sang from the bottom of his heart. But I suspect it was magnified a number of times more from the account in our text. Only Luke has most of this chapter 2 included in his gospel. The framing story, verses 22 to 24 and 39 to 40, have one governing force. Jesus grew up in a family that meticulously observed the law of Moses. No fewer than 5 times in this entire text, Luke tells the reader that they did everything according to the law. Jesus was nurtured in his tradition, and if at times he was critical of it, he always did it from the perspective of an insider. 2 separate regulations are placed together. Purification of the mother after childbirth was required after 40 days in the case of a male, according to Leviticus 12:1-8. Required was a sacrifice of a lamb and a pigeon, or, if the family wasn't able to afford that, 2 pigeons or turtle doves would do. Along with a purification, the dedication of the firstborn son to God was also observed, according to Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, and verses 12 to 16. Imagine coming into the temple with your newborn, and there you met by these 2 elderly strangers whom you haven't ever seen before, both of whom share testimonies about who this child really is. It says the parents marveled at what was said about him. I would guess so. But let's back it up a bit. We got to look a little closer, because we don't hear anything in Scripture about Simeon and Anna before this moment. It's like they just appear for a moment, they're on stage for a bit, and then they're gone. However, I think there's more, a whole lot more that meets the eye than that at first glance. We learn that Simeon was probably elderly, righteous, devout, in tune with the Holy Spirit. It had been revealed to him that he would not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that day he was inspired to go into the temple. It's like the Spirit took him by the arm to the temple and said, there, those people, that's the couple, Mary and Joseph and the baby. In response, he draws heavily on passages from Isaiah 40 to 55. He declares Jesus to be the means of salvation for all people, both Jew and Gentile. And Jesus will bring truth to light. All who come in contact with him will be thrown into a crisis of decision. In this decision, rising and falling, life and death will occur. Jesus always precipitates the centrally important movement of one's life, either toward or away from. Also, there's a shadow side of Jesus' saving work introduced here. This consolation is going to come at great cost. The parent will bury the child. Simeon's witness is confirmed by Anna, who was also elderly, has the gift of prophecy. She never left the temple day or night, but worshiped with prayer and fasting. And she was there at that exact same hour, saw the child, gave thanks to God, and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. These 2 aged saints are Israel in miniature and Israel at its best. Devout, obedient, constant in prayer, led by the Spirit, at home in the temple, longing and hoping for the fulfillment of God's promises. See, God is doing something new here, but it's not really something entirely new, because hope is always joined to memory, and the new is God's keeping an old promise. It will all be fulfilled. whatever was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Anna and Simeon are the portrait of Israel that accepted Jesus. And those who rejected him misunderstood their own tradition and therefore were not capable of recognizing him as the continuation of their own best memory and best hopes. But we need to back up just a little bit more, because there's still more in this text. Both Simeon and Anna were elderly. Both have been waiting. How long? It doesn't say. But the implication is it's been a really, really long time. How grateful we are to know that they were able to live long enough to experience the fulfillment of what they were been waiting for. Yet the fulfillment was predeceased by what? By decades of waiting. I would say painful, long-term waiting. God's promises, like the birth of children, requires a gestation period, an agonizing season of waiting. And most people in the Bible who claimed big promises did not get instant microwave answers. Hannah was childless for years. Abraham was promised an heir, but 25 years later, when the angel came to him again and said the same promise to him, he still hadn't had a child. 25 years later, the imprisoned apostle Paul waited. They travailed and waited and travailed some more. For years, they waited. See, big animals often have the longest gestation period. Baby elephants take 15 months. Baby whales take 18 months. And I heard that the mother's milk is so rich in a baby whale that they will gain 100 pounds in one day from drinking that milk like 24 hours a day. I'm glad that's not a human equivalent. Baby elephants take how long before there's a baby? Anybody know? How long? It's certainly longer than humans would want to be forming a child. 22 months, almost 2 years. And when they give birth, it's a 600-pound baby. Like, you don't want to get near that thing right away. Just keep your distance. It's huge. If we are carrying a big promise, we should be prepared to wait. This is never popular in our time because we know what we want, when we want, and we want it now. I suspect Simeon and Anna felt like quitting. The headlines in Jerusalem were depressing. The economy was awful. And taxes, talk about taxes. Some people were taxed up to 70% of their income. There were always new taxes inscribed, imposed by the Romans and by the Jewish leaders. Always the country and its people were under the threat of foreign occupation. The political situation was demoralizing. And yet, those two faithful prayer warriors, they didn't, absolutely didn't, go into retirement. And though their hands grew feeble, their faith grew strong. And they laid hold of that sure promise. And they pressed through the darkness of doubt, especially when they felt like quitting and simply giving up. Their life was not only this moment that we read about in Scripture, but it was the culmination of waiting, of prayer and fasting. And all of what came before prepared them for that moment. Waiting always prepares us for the moment of fulfillment. It has to come first. Waiting takes us back to the truth of the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." It's not always my will. But what a moment it must have been. It says, Simeon took him up in his arms. Can you imagine what that was like for him? He got to hold this child he had waited for years. Can you picture him with tears of joy running down his cheeks?
He got to participate in the fulfillment of a reality not of his own making. And when it came, he was ready. He didn't miss it. You see, life gives us a lot of things, but basically, it gives us moments, doesn't it? Lots of moments. And we all have them. And sometimes we all wait for them. How prepared are we for them? We will all come across situations, moments actually, when we will be asked to step up, to speak a word, to do something, to wait perhaps. We come to this event and the announcer says, now the moment we've all been waiting for, and suppose nothing happens. Nothing. Somebody forgot something, missed out, didn't show up, whatever. You see, we usually aren't involved in big things like naming a ship, or winning an Olympic track meet, or selling, or writing and selling a best-selling novel. But all of us have ordinary moments that come our way. Moments when maybe there's a phone call, a child needs something, God wants to teach us something. Have you ever realized too late that the moment passed you by and you can't recreate it because, I don't know, something came up, we weren't ready, or we weren't aware, or we were preoccupied? See, Simeon was inspired by the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the temple, in tune with the Spirit, and I would suggest that's why he didn't miss out. Just an experience from a number of years ago. A friend of mine was in the hospital. Nothing life-threatening, just a reoccurring something that they didn't know what was going on with him, but I came home and had this nagging sense that I was supposed to go visit him. But I knew that the visiting hours were over at 8:30. This was already about maybe 8 o'clock in the evening. I thought, like, what use is there to go to Altona to visit a neighbor of mine who is probably going to be released the next day, and I might have 10 minutes with him, and what's the sense of that? But the sense was pretty strong and pretty keen, so I figured, well, maybe I should go, so I went. And I stopped in at his place, and we visited for about 5 minutes or so, and then the announcement came that visiting hours were over. So I said goodbye to him, and as I came out the door of his room, there was this nurse who went by, and she looked like she just wasn't doing very well, and I said, are you okay? And she said, well, not really. She said, there's a family down the road there, or down in the hallway there, this fellow, he is not in good shape. I don't think he's going to be here long. He's dying. And his family was here. They decided he was doing okay, and they decided to go for supper, and I just can't get a hold of them. I can't get a hold of them. I said to her, well, why don't you go back to the desk and see if you can keep getting a hold of them, and I'll go and spend some time with him, and that way he won't be by himself there. So I went to his room. It ended up being a person that I actually knew. And yeah, he was not doing well. So I spent some time with him. We talked about a couple of things. He wasn't too communicative, wasn't able to be. But we went through Psalm 23 and had a time of prayer with him. And while I was there, he passed away. And we got to planning this funeral for him. And his wife came to me and she said, you know, I am ever so grateful that he wasn't there by himself. He wasn't alone. And so then some of those pieces started to make sense. Well, yeah, you go to the neighbor to visit because you need to be there in order for to be there somewhere else. It's just how it goes. Usually you're not told directly. It's oftentimes an indirect route. But invite us to be able to wait, to be in tune, because it allows us It gives time for the Spirit to catch up with where we need to be, to give us direction and guidance, to wait, to pray, to fast, to be in the temple, to worship. Such key items. Just a couple more. Simeon blessed God as his first response. He blessed God. What does that mean? According to Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then it says what? "Forget not all his benefits." All that is within me, there's a single focus, bless his holy name. Through worship, through prayer, through giving thanks. And don't forget all his benefits. Then he lists them. Well, just back up. It's the constant temptation always to forget about God and forget about doing God's commandments. And then he gives this list of benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? If we forget that, then we tend to think it's all up to us. And then our character changes and we end up becoming the kind of people God never intended us to become. That would be a greater lesson we could go through from Deuteronomy 8 and 6, where he talks about that. Secondly, Simeon blessed Mary and Joseph. I think there's really something instructive about that. To bless people on their way, on their journey of life. For those of you who read or read, subscribe to the Rejoice devotional just a bit ago in December, Mary Ann Isaac writes the following. Years ago, during voluntary service in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the time came for me to give birth to our first child. Since my husband and I had prepared to move to the capital city 4 weeks before my due date, I had left the baby clothes, diapers, and other items we would need there. I didn't have them with me. And 5 weeks before my due date, I unexpectedly went into labor, and with the help of a local midwife in Kikwit, I gave birth to our firstborn son. I wrapped him in a towel torn in two, one half for a blanket, one half for a diaper. And eventually, because there was no incubator, we laid him in a little snowsuit that someone shared with us to keep him warm at night. My neighbors arrived at my door, she said, barely an hour after I gave birth. Six Congolese mothers got up early that morning, and instead of making their way to the market as usual, they came to find me. Surrounding the bed, they fell to their knees, threw their hands in the air, and with whispered voices, in quotation marks, she says, hollered and hooted and alleluia'd. They thanked God for the safe birth. They called down God's blessing on this child. And their exuberant rejoicing after my exhausting labor still has the power to wash through me. Their infusion of joy has permanently imprinted a sense of the holy on my heart. What a moment, isn't it? Wow. Note the enduring legacy of that blessing, she says. Their exuberant rejoicing after my exhausting labor still has the power to wash through me. And their infusion of joy has permanently imprinted a sense of the holy on my heart. What might this look like? What would this world look like if people made this notion of blessing something that we would do with each other in the course of our everyday interactions? Not always that overt, but to bless, to encourage, to uplift, to listen, to care, to show compassion, grace, and respect. I'm quite convinced, more than ever, that people need encouragement to do what is right, more so than they need us to point out what it is they are doing wrong. Always. And as a byproduct, I think we would discover many more moments and God moments in our interactions with other people. And finally for today, this account of Simeon and Anna reminds me of the importance of the elderly in our society and in our congregations. I think we brush the importance aside too easily to our peril. Do you think that other people in that temple noticed the presence of Simeon and Anna there, actually night and day praising faith? Do you think they really noticed? I would say absolutely. Do you think others were inspired by their dedication, their commitment, their faith, and their perseverance? It's hard to think they wouldn't be inspired. Sometimes I think it's tempting for the elderly to think, I'm not really able to do much anymore. I don't have the energy to be involved in the way I once was. Things are changing. I think I'll just step back. I won't bother coming anymore. Nobody will really miss me. That's just not true. It is so crucial to have the elderly be physically present if they are able, because they are visible role models of commitment, giving evidence that it is actually possible to live a life of faith, giving evidence that it's possible to be married to someone for 50, 60, or 70 years. That is huge. Your influence goes so much further than what you might think, and so sorely missed when your presence is absent due to illness or having moved or passed away. The health of a congregation is always enhanced by the presence of mature Christians in its midst, as it is in this congregation. Let us continue the legacy of Simeon and Anna by blessing our God and blessing one another throughout the moments of our everyday, ordinary lives. Amen.
Let's respond by singing King of My Heart, which reminds us of who the God is that we serve, and that he is good even in the waiting. So please stand with me and we'll sing. Of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, and you are good, good. You are good, good, oh, and you are good, good, oh. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. And you are good, good, oh. And you are good, good, oh. You are good, good, oh. And you are good, good, oh. And you're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, good. Oh, and you are good, good. Oh, and you are good, good. Whoa, you are good, good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song.
Let's bow to pray. God sends us into the world to accept the cost and to discover the joy of discipleship. Therefore go, carrying with you the peace of Christ, the love of God, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in trial and rejoicing. Amen.